I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The NHL playoffs are with us. They begin on Saturday. What are the Lightning's chances to give Stanley a tan? And does being swept by Columbus more than a year ago even matter now? We'll discuss all that and more with Tom Jones, my former radio partner, longtime columnist of the Tampa Bay Times, on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. Okay, just a little programming note. You want to make sure you're on hand for tomorrow's podcast and check out my interview with John Franklin. And you can also read the story on TampaBay.com. He played quarterback for Florida State, East Mississippi Community College, Auburn, and Florida Atlantic. That was his college career. Was signed as an undrafted free agent as a defensive back, something he never played for the Chicago Bears, and is now trying to make it as a wide receiver with the Bucks. The star of Last Chance U, remember that Netflix series? Well, he's going to join me on tomorrow's podcast as he talks about overcoming odds in life and in football. All right, Tom Jones joins us now. And Tommy, it feels like that there's going to be, and there already has been, some NHL hockey. We are getting closer to the time when the Tampa Bay Lightning will, you know, play their round robin games, and then it's all into the playoffs. So I think the bubble concept, we talked about this the other day, I think they're going to be okay doing it the way they're doing it. Do you have any sense? Is there any expectation, or should there be any expectation, that the teams that were good during the regular season, which seems 100 years ago, are going to be good in this situation where they've had to come back now after being off for so long, skate for a couple weeks, and then boom, sort of right into what amounts to a tournament?
I think so. The problem for me, Rick, is I mentioned this one other time. I don't remember who's good. I remember the Lightning's good. I remember that. But
I'll help you out. Pittsburgh's really good.
Pittsburgh's good. Boston's good.
Pretty good.
Toronto's good. But Washington, if you told me in the West,
yeah,
the team to beat is the Predators, I'd be like, oh, I believe that. But if you also told me, like, yeah, they're missing the playoffs, you didn't know? Mm-hmm. I'd be like, oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's true. So, I think the Lightning has got to be one of the favorites. I mean, we saw, for the same reasons that they were such a good team before. I actually think, Rick, this idea of this bubble, and there's going to be less media, because I don't know that there's a team with more pressure on it than the Tampa Bay Lightning after what happened last year when they.
But doesn't that seem? Let me ask you this, because I'm glad you brought that up, because we know that when we began the season, and you made it very clear. You said, I don't care what they do during the regular season because none of it matters. And it was, you know, well, will they forget about next year, or, you know, or last year when they get to, say, you know, after the holidays? Or, you know, at what point will that be behind them? You know what I'm saying? And you basically said it won't until they play again, until they, you know, get into the Stanley Cup playoffs and win a series and advance and try to win a Stanley Cup. It's always going to be the point of reference. They can't erase that stain until they win it all. Do you still feel that way, or has there been enough time to where even that seems like eons ago, and really, you know, because you can't remember who was good, and because it's been such an odd sort of separation that, you know, if they go out there and don't play well and lay an egg, it's really not a continuation of last year. It's just, you know, it's just the result of this year and the layoff and the things that, you know, certain teams might not handle that very well.
For me, it feels like, and maybe this carries over to the players, it feels like such a break that I don't even remember. Not only don't I remember last season anymore, I don't remember this season anymore.
Exactly, that's what I mean.
Right.
It's been so long that I think we're past them losing four games to Columbus.
It was so funny. I was talking to my son the other day, and we were talking about the Lightning coming back, and somehow the Columbus series came up. I legitimately could not remember if it was last year or the year before. I forgot for a few moments that it was actually last season, technically.
Right.
And therefore, I do think that it's going to be better for the Lightning this time around. I don't think they're going to have that sort of shadow hanging over their heads about what happened last year against Columbus. I also think, Rick, again, with I'm not sure what's going to happen with the media in terms of, I know they're going to do Zoom calls like they've been doing. I don't know. I think that storyline has gone away a little bit, and there's not going to be obviously the amount of media like in their face and in the locker room and constantly asking questions the way that they would get it under normal circumstances without coronavirus. So I actually think this all could play into the Lightning's hands. This really could benefit them. The question also too is, I think with the fans taken out of the game, this is just a guess.
That's what I was going to ask you.
With fans taken out of the game, Rick, I think emotion can carry teams. And I think if you take emotion out of the game, which you do, I think, when you remove...
That can actually help other teams, right?
I think it helps the most talented... The most talented teams will benefit from that.
I agree. I'm glad you said it. I was thinking exactly the same thing, because I think skill, when you remove the pressure of, you know, being on the road, being in a hostile crowd, maybe even the way the game is officiated. Tom, look, these guys are human too,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you're playing in Pittsburgh or Boston and that crowd starts, you know, screaming for, you know, a roughing
for
call
calls or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, then all of a sudden there goes the hand up, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You've seen it. You've felt
it.
You can feel it in an
yes.
arena
sure.
that you know, they'll every time a guy hits the ice, somebody must have dragged him down, right? And they start
exactly.
screaming. And sooner or later, they're going to get that hand up in the air and you're going to get a power play out of it. That, too, may actually benefit a team like the Lightning that's very skilled and won't be maybe the victim of that. Now, I think the Lightning at Amalie Arena had a pretty good home ice advantage, personally.
Right.
That's a tough place to play.
It is a tough place to play, but there are advantages of being the home team that they'll be able to carry over into these neutral site games where you get the last change and all that.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And I trust John Cooper in those situations. But I do believe when you try to make things as equal as possible, which is what
right.
we're doing with playing in neutral sites,
yes.
no crowd, when
no travel.
When things are as neutral as possible,
yes.
then it really comes down to who's the best team, who's the most
talent,
skilled team.
Talent and will. Will
right.
still plays a part of it, but
and attrition,
sure.
because let's face it, like during the
yeah,
playoffs,
injuries. Mm-hmm.
injuries take end up playing a factor. But if I'm the Lightning, I don't mind this scenario. I don't mind playing in a neutral site, basically, against anybody. Now there are obviously
right.
there are teams that I think would give them trouble in a series. Boston's still really good. The Capitals are still really good. I think those are the two teams in the East that if they had to play one of those two teams, I'm not sure I'd pick them to win that series. But other than that, I like them better than I do Toronto. I like Toronto better than Toronto. I like them better than the Flyers or the Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else that might get in there, the Panthers. I think the Lightning, and I'm not saying Lightning couldn't beat the Bruins or the Capitals. I think the Capitals are the team to beat in the East still. But with that goaltending, with Andrei Vasilevsky, let's see if Steven Stamkos is going to play. I like the idea that Victor Hedman will be back and healthy. Which he wasn't last year during that series against Columbus. So with all those things going on, I think they can definitely win a cup.
And let's assume everybody's healthy for those other teams too, and that's going to be obviously, you know, a factor as well. I don't know. I go back and forth with this hockey team, and I don't know, do you go for it in these three games, you know, when you have this round robin to try to get the highest seed possible? Do you play your stars a good amount of minutes to try to take advantage of your seeding and set yourself up better for a first round? And my thinking is, going back to the Columbus thing, you can't win the cup unless you win the first series, right?
Right.
So do matchups matter in that you don't want to play Pittsburgh in the first round? That would be a really tough challenge anytime you get them, and God knows you need to build some momentum, especially with the layoff. Would you go a little harder during these three games to try to draw someone like Toronto or, you know, a lesser team?
Yeah, I don't know that I would go all out just based on who my opponent might be. Now, there, obviously, you get into situations where you don't want to have to beat two really good teams to get to the finals.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all good, don't get me wrong, but
right.
sometimes, depending on your seeding, you don't want to have to go through, like, the first and the second seeds as opposed
right.
to the first and the fourth seed or whatever. But I would go all out, Rick, just to get some playoff intensity going, just to get to the point where you're ready for the playoffs to start. That's going to be the weird thing, Rick, because we've never seen this before. We've seen teams, and I know the Lightning sort of cruised into the playoffs last year. That might be another good thing that this year will be different than last season, in that, remember last year they were so far ahead, and you know, with the year when you're winning 62 games, where you just sort of cruise into the playoffs, and you weren't really playing for anything for the last 3 months of the season. You knew you were going to make it. Now that's sort of been taken away. Now everybody's starting from scratch again, and maybe that helps too. But I think I go all out just to get in sort of the playoff vibe, if you will. But these it'll be interesting to see, Rick, because as I mentioned before, just a few moments ago, with the attrition to the playoffs, it's just a grueling tournament. I've covered two Stanley Cup final runs, the one in 2004 where they won it, and the one in 2015 where they lost in game six to the Blackhawks. And I'm telling you, Rick, it's grueling. It's a grueling pace, and I don't even play. But
you're talking about just for the writers, just the amount of beer you have to drink after the game.
Do you realize how many calamari appetizers I ate during those two playoff runs? Are you kidding me? You don't realize how many times.
Deep dish pizza, Geno's again. Yeah.
How many times I've been hungover on a plane going from Toronto to. No, but seriously, my point being is that it's even for writers who aren't playing games, it's a grueling 2 months.
Yes.
And for the players, the grueling part, Rick, for a lot of us is the travel.
Yes.
And the players are traveling. They're on charters and all that. It's still hard.
Right.
Remove that travel now where you're.
Right.
And I think it's going to make for an interesting and I think better hockey in this tournament.
Well, players could potentially be a little bit fresher. They're still going to get injured. They're still going to have the bumps and bruises. But you're right. They're not getting on airplanes and high altitudes and having to go back and forth. And in time zones as well sometimes can catch up to you. When you cover the Lightning,
just odd schedules
Edmonton
too.
To Tampa. And odd schedules, right. You know, all of that. You know,
going to bed, like they would play a playoff game, say, I remember back in 2015, you play a playoff game in Montreal, and then you fly home either the next day or the night of the game.
Yeah,
you're going to bed at 3 a.m. That's not going to happen with this bubble. You're going to play a game, and the game's going to be over at 10 o'clock or 10:30. You can be back in your hotel room by 11:30. You know,
it's the hardest sport. I think it's the hardest trophy to win because of that. I think you know you're playing for a couple months, it seems, and you know you got to win 16, right? I think it is to win it all, but. Let me ask you this, because this is a little inside pool. You've covered two Stanley Cup championship teams, or teams that went to the finals,
right?
And had some travel involved with that. But you had to, you know, you I don't know how long you were in one city before you went back home and went back out again. Can you remember what the longest stretch you were in covering anything, like what it was in your career where? You know, you felt like you had to go to a laundromat or send your clothes out to clean, or just
in any sport, covering anything.
Yeah, just covering anything where you were on the road. Like I may never get home, and I didn't pack enough something. Right.
Have you
ever been in that situation?
Yeah, the longest I've ever been away from home covering something was I covered the Olympics in Salt Lake City.
Okay.
And so I left. I was in Minnesota at the time. I was working for the Star Tribune in Minneapolis.
Right.
And I was gone like, I want to say 17 days.
That's a long time. Yeah.
It is a long time. Another time we went to Austria for the Lightning training camp. So I was gone about 11 days. That seemed long. But no, the Olympics were, 16. I want to say
now, did you know going in, though, you would be gone that long? You did.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I mean, The day that I left, I had a return flight. I had a ticket to return home, and I knew exactly when that date was. I think, Rick, that's a little bit easier because you know ahead of time, and
you're in one place. Yeah,
you're in one place. I think I did laundry only once while I was. Yeah. You know, I took enough clothes for a week, and basically it was a 2 week trip.
Right.
How about you? Like for football, I mean, you went to college baseball World Series once, right?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, like back in the day, you know, when we cared about such stuff and there was plenty of money, you know, Florida State and Miami were really good baseball programs. Some of them still are, obviously. And so
didn't have a baseball team back then.
No, we had no baseball. No, no major league team. And invariably, one or two of those teams, usually two or sometimes three of those teams, would make it to the College World Series in Omaha. And everybody, you know, when I started working there, they knew I you know, was a baseball guy, played college baseball, whatever. I was still working, I think, at the time in the Pasco Bureau or something like that, covering as a sports editor. But I would get around, you know, college baseball and the World Series, and they go, you know what, let's go cover that. Okay. And the first time I went to Omaha, the way they used to do the tournament was because it's the biggest event in Omaha every year. They'd send the AAA Omaha Royals away for like a month, right? And what they would do is they had really no makeup plan for rainouts. And it's in the summertime, and yes, it does rain. And the first night I'm there, a tornado siren went off, and I didn't know what the hell I was supposed to do because I'm in a hotel. I don't have any idea what this thing is, let alone where I'm supposed to go. So it was, you know, by today's standards, like Helen Hunt and, you know, Bill Paxton are running around, and I'm half-heartedly, you know, trying to look down the hall to see if people are going someplace that I should follow them. But be that as it may, it did rain. And so what back in the day, it was a double elimination tournament, okay? Right. So you had a loser's bracket and a winner's bracket. You had to lose twice to get out, but you could come back and play a million games to get back to the championship, even if you lost early. So they would have two games on one day of the quote-unquote winner's bracket. And then on the off day, the next day, there would be maybe one game or two of the loser's bracket, okay? And then they'd keep going back and forth like that. And you get kind of a day off. If you won, you'd have a day off in between, then you come back. And this was how, you know, Mike Martin for all these years could get by on one pitcher throwing 150 pitches one day and then coming back and throwing 85 two days later. And he did. Richie Lewis, wherever he is in his arm,
which is, you know, 2 feet longer than the other arm.
Yeah, exactly. It's in like a violin case somewhere, I think. But I'm all hyped up to do this World Series. I'm thinking this is great. You know, this is baseball. I'm at Rosenblatt Stadium. It's like,
yeah,
you know,
great place. Yeah.
All this great place, and it's packed. And gosh, you can get a steak anywhere in this town. And I'm watching baseball, but you're covering a lot of games, so you're covering two games, and then it's like. But then you get the rain out, and you're thinking, okay, so then tomorrow they'll probably start around 12 noon, maybe go, you know, do the losers first, and then come back and make up the winners' games. And then, no, we've just moved everything up a day. I was like, excuse me, what? Wait, what? Yeah, you know that game that got rained out last night? We're going to pick that one up in the seventh inning, and we'll play the next game after that, and then the losers bracket that was supposed to be played today, that'll be on Friday. So you just moved everything a day? Yeah, we moved it a day. So then you get another rainout. It'd be like, yeah, we moved the loser's bracket game a day further ahead. This thing was a ruse. It went on because they didn't have the locked-in, you know, TV final on a specific day. It went on. I was in Omaha for 14 days. I kid you not, covering the College World Series once.
Yeah, yeah.
It was incredible. I knew everything about Omaha. Did you know Creighton is in Omaha, by the way?
Did not.
Yeah, it is. I'm pretty sure. If I'm wrong about that, folks, write me.
It's funny. When I went to Salt Lake City for the Olympics, now it's the Olympics, so it was different. But downtown Salt Lake, where we were staying, where a lot of the writers were staying, and we got like this. It was almost like an extended stay America type place that we stayed in. And you could eat there, and I did eat some of the meals there. But the only really like great place to eat in this area where we were was at P.F. Chang's. I ate at P.F. Chang's like 10 nights because the rest of the time you're at a rink and you're eating bad concession food.
Same thing, or did you do the menu?
Pretty much the same thing every night. Yeah, like
sweet and sour pork or chicken, kung pao chicken or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And it was it's bad when you walk in and they're like, hey, Tom, how you doing? They know your name and everything at a Salt Lake City. But Salt Lake City was great. I enjoyed those. That was one of the more fun things I ever covered were those Olympics.
Well, I'm glad you got to do one because I never did. You know, I don't get to put that in my farewell column whenever that is. I did. So. Did you do a farewell column, by the way?
I did, but I didn't write it. It wasn't a traditional farewell column. It was, I did make fun of myself in it where I said I might have been wrong about a couple of things, like giving Josh Freeman $100 million.
$100 million.
But I also said, yeah, I think I was right. Now this is a while ago. I said I think I was right about Colin Kaepernick, and I think I've turned out to be right about that.
Oh wow!
A lot of people wouldn't agree with that now, but mostly it was a look forward. Like, here's what I hope happens.
Yeah. Oh yeah. For Tampa Bay.
Now I did happen to predict. I said there will be a one in a hundred year pandemic in a couple of years. So you're gonna have to live through
wow.
that. I know, it was crazy how right on the money I was with that. I'd never. Could you imagine? Like, who could
you and Bill Gates? I think
who could have possibly predicted? This is crazy, and that's the thing, Rick.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news: ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
John Romano wrote about this the other day in the Tampa Bay Times, and we could have three championship teams in Tampa Bay. Can you imagine if all those seasons get wiped out?
Yeah, and it plays right into the, you know, we can't have nice things that I say all the time. I mean, I'm sitting here with Tom Brady, you know, walked into the Advent Healthcare Center, One Buck, whatever you want to call it. And, of course, for 30 years, I've been over there in some form or fashion on the first day of training camp. And, naturally, you know, the GOAT is on this football team. And
think of all the quarterbacks that have walked through those doors. And you're looking at and we're all trying to convince ourselves, oh, they can win with this guy.
Well, I was a big fan of Josh McCown and Mike Glennon and
Brian Greasy,
Chris Sims. Those were good times, you know.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, Jeff Garcia.
Yeah. Brad Johnson actually won a Super Bowl. Sean King,
yeah. Brad got it done.
All good guys, Trent Dilfer.
Yeah, Trent Dilfer, Casey Weldon.
Jack Thompson. You don't go back that far.
I wasn't there for that.
I know, but I'm just saying, think of all the quarterbacks, like Terry Hanratty, all the guys that come rolling through there. And now the 1 year, you get Tom Brady.
Won't even be in the room with him.
And you might not, but then he may not even play. We may not have a season. That is the most Tampa Bay thing ever.
It really is. And again, you know, we can't have nice things, but you're right. Romano is right. And I appreciated the package. I'll ask you this question. If you had to say, and I said to you, Tom, one of these teams, just one, actually went the distance and brought home a world championship. They completed all three seasons, okay? However that manifests itself. Maybe they play 14 games in the NFL, what have you, 60 games in baseball, but they take that to a World Series. NHL plays their scheduled Stanley Cup final. Only one of the three teams celebrates a world championship. Which one is it?
I think it's the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think
really?
I think compared to the rest of the league, they're the most talented compared to the rest of the league. I really like the Rays, but I think the Yankees are better. I also think the Dodgers are better. Mm-hmm. I think the competition's too much. I do believe the Rays can win it all. And if they get the pitching and Blake Snell and Charlie Morton and Tyler Glasnow stays healthy and they get in a playoff series, that they can beat anybody.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'd consider them.
Why won't they?
Well, here I have a question. Well, okay, we'll get to it another time.
Throw it out there. I'll answer anything.
And I'm not criticizing. I'm just asking.
Okay? No, that's fine.
I'm just asking. Why can't Blake Snell and Tyler Glasnow go deep right at the start of the season? Why aren't they not ready to go deep in the games yet? Why were they on pitch counts like 40?
Is this a serious question?
Yes.
Well, because they shut it down because they had a spring training, then they were off for about 2 months and they weren't like throwing.
Kyle
bullpens.
Hendricks went like through a complete game for the Cubs.
Kyle Hendricks doesn't break a pane of glass.
I mean
he's not exactly a maximum effort guy. And by the way, that might have been the dumbest thing that Ross ever does in his first managerial appearance.
Have the guy go a complete game?
Is getting talked into, because he went out there not as his manager but as his catcher, and got talked into letting him throw not 90 but 100 and something pitches
probably not
so he could finish with a complete game shutout. we don't know if Hendrickson's going to be able to throw more than another two outings for that matter.
And I'm not questioning Blake Snell. I'm sure they're doing the right thing.
Blake didn't have a good appearance. But look, I mean, you do have to build up to a certain point, don't you? I mean, in terms of like, do you want a guy to go out there and do what Hendrickson did and throw 100 pitches? I don't think so. He's not going to be, they're not that efficient yet. Their expectation was that they'd be around, they would start this second season, if you will, the 60-game stretch. They would start by hoping that most starters could go five innings and or 75 pitches.
Right.
And then they would build up from there. Well, you know, if you're starting at 75, potentially, it's you know, if you're efficient, I mean, you could get five or six.
And sometimes, yeah, I mean, I saw a lot of pitchers were getting like six innings. Yeah. And maybe Blake Snell will eventually.
So in 2 weeks.
Within three starts, yeah. He's up
yeah,
to
within 2 weeks, maybe, you know, Blake Snell is not going nine innings no matter what. I mean, I haven't seen him throw a complete game. Really, for that matter, complete games are, you know, are rare. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, he'll build up to it. But I'm not, you know. I'm not that surprised. If I told you this that Snell and Morton would have the two worst games of any starters, and they would be 4-1, you'd probably tell me what happened. I don't know how they pulled that out. Right.
Right. Right.
I'm telling you right now, though, seriously, that this Rays team, and I know again, it's you know it's a sprint, it's not a marathon, but this Rays team has enough different types of arms and enough depth and enough power in certain spots, and I mean if they play up to their potential, and I don't know what you know it I Tom I think it's one of the better Rays teams they've ever had.
It's one of the better Rays teams they've ever had, and I actually think it's unfortunate that they're playing this season where they're adding playoff teams, because this is
too.
The 1 year you don't need extra teams to make it. They were going to make it anyway.
I do too.
And now you just add more teams to the mix. And in that first run, I like the idea of best of three better than I do the best of one.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you have one pitcher who just goes out and his lights out one night, now all of a sudden you're down one game to none, and something crazy can happen in game two. The more teams that make the playoffs, you don't have to be a genius, but the more teams that make it, the less your chance is of winning
right.
the whole thing. Now,
plus
look,
best
hockey,
of three, like the reward if you win your division is you play them all at your place.
Right.
But at best of three means that your ace is only going one of those three games in all likelihood.
Right, and it's better. And if it's also, we've seen teams in the past where they were able to win a wild card game because they had one super ace.
Yeah.
Whereas, like I remember a few years ago when Jake Arrieta lights out
Cubs.
For Chicago.
Yeah.
They actually made the wild card that they didn't win the division
right.
that year. I think they played the Pirates, and the Pirates had no chance
mm-hmm.
against them. Well, if they had to play another game against them, Jake Arrieta can't pitch three games.
He can't pitch, right.
So it does benefit. And I think the Rays, again, they can throw out three pitchers, four pitchers if you want to throw. I'd be totally comfortable with Yarbrough throwing a one-game situation. So I do like the Rays, don't get me wrong. I just think the Lightning would be my pick of all the teams. Tampa, the Bucks, I think they would be third on my list only because, A, I don't know what this team's going to look like yet. I mean, we can sit there and say all we want about, oh, Tom Brady and the GOAT.
What is it you got to see?
You
don't think he can do it without Bill Belichick or
no,
or,
I do. I do, but they haven't played one snap together. And I just
– Well, I would grant you that's a hard thing. And I think people are probably underestimating how hard what he's attempting to do. You know, we saw Peyton Manning do it, beat up, go to one Super Bowl and lose, and then go to another one and win it when he was really just a passenger for the defense. But he still brought the mentality and the belief and all that. I think Brady would do that. I don't know, Tom. I look at the NFC, and I know, you know, San Francisco was the team. I'm not necessarily sold on Garoppolo. Their defense is really very good. Those teams coming out, whether it's Seattle coming out of the West, they'll be really good. Green Bay won 13 last year. I never got the feeling they were going to go deep in the playoffs, and they really didn't. They didn't go to the Super Bowl anyway.
Minnesota's not bad.
Minnesota's, you know, I mean, there's good teams up and down, but at the end of the day, you're talking about New Orleans, and I don't know that Drew Brees, as great as he is, I don't know if he can take a team back to a Super Bowl. I don't know if he can play 16 games. You know, he got knocked out, could only, you know, miss four with the thumb injury and whatnot, was pretty damn good when he came back. But something always seems to happen screwy with New Orleans. They get a bad call here. They miss a kick there. And really, you know, if you beat them, you win the division. I mean, Tom Brady is here because he's got the best weapons he's probably ever played with as a group, right? Right. I mean, he's never had that many receivers or that many tight ends. I don't know. I mean, if not for the fact that he's had no offseason except for the Berkeley prep, you know, practices or whatnot. You know, I was talking to Bruce Arians today. And he goes, you know, the hardest thing for Tom is going to be that he's not played. And he's not going to be in regular season football shape. Nobody will. But for a guy like Brady, who's meticulous in his preparation, who, you know, so much is built on timing and other guys knowing exactly where they're going and you know, not being able to have an off season and OTAs, I think that might affect him. That's the only reason I would agree with you. I think the Rays have a really good shot at it if they play all those games. The Lightning, I mean, the only thing I've kind of soured on them. I'm kind of like the show me guy right now. You know, like
I can see that.
Like, you know, at the end of the day, it's like we just documented it's the hardest trophy to win. Let's not forget that. You know, in the NFL, Tom, if you win your division and you get a first round bye and you've got any home field advantage, you only got to win one game and you're playing to go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like you win one playoff game at home and you're playing to go to the Super Bowl.
No, you're right. And when I mentioned that the Rays still would have to go through at some point, either like the Yankees or the Astros or the Dodgers, the Lightning still has to go through either Boston or Washington.
Sure.
So there are teams out there that are
Pittsburgh. That are, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot. Toronto's is still a good team. So there are teams out there that that I don't know that I would consider the Lightning a favorite. I just think they're the most talented of the three teams, and I think they have the best chance. But I wouldn't dismiss any of them.
Yeah. What if all three won?
What's the closest? And I'm sure people out there listening and
Boston. I mean, Boston held every trophy, didn't they, for a while? Didn't the Bruins, the Patriots, and the Red Sox?
Yeah,
they
didn't have the Celtics, but they had three of them. Yes,
yeah. Three. Okay, that's it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I remember growing up in Pittsburgh, there were a couple times where the Steelers. One time actually, when the Steelers and the Pirates both were champions at the same time.
Yeah.
But three. That's three. Can you imagine? Especially in Tampa Bay. Can you imagine?
No, actually, I can't, and it will never happen.
Well, let me ask you this, Rick. You've been covering sports for the last 5 months. No, like the last 5 months, like you've never covered them before.
So right.
But Zoom calls and
it's been
basically not leaving your house, not leaving the palatial estates, the Stroud.
And why would you want to
compound up there? And
which has been
other than
by
when
way.
You're out taking pictures, but
that's true. Well, yeah, sneaking through. That was pre-coronavirus, right?
What? No,
I guess that was not. No.
No, we weren't sneaking through anything. I was at the end of a public street.
You were interrupting.
Erroneous.
You were bothering
Erroneous. And first of all, I didn't take the pictures. I merely directed the photographer to the location where he could take
them.
I'm
making fun. They didn't even know you guys were there.
I'm sensitive. It's just
It's sensitive for doing your job, for breaking a story?
Yes, I'm not going to apologize. It was great watching them practice. It really was.
Exactly.
Like that was the one I've seen a million practices, Tom. I'm telling you, I enjoyed those 2 hours more than any I've ever. For as far away as I was, it was still very enjoyable.
But training camp now starts next week, somewhat normal training camp for the players,
allegedly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So what about you guys? You guys can go, right?
Well, we don't know. At some point we'll go. They have like 16 days, I think, 14, 16 days of just what they call strength and conditioning. So they're not really technically doing like much football stuff because they want them to, you know, find out where they're at after missing an entire offseason, be where they're at physically. Then they'll go into helmets and do 4 or 5 days of that before they put on pads. And I think they're only in pads like 8 to 10 days, and then the season starts. So it's really, you know, sort of quick. No preseason games. From what I understand, you know, they're doing this in tiers that includes the organization itself, a lot of support people, and you're going to be placed in a certain tier. For the media, there's a tier two something that there'll be a maximum of, I think, 10 writers or media out there. And my understanding is if ESPN and NFL Network are there, they get up to 4 spots. Well, you can bet with Tom Brady, here that there will be, you know, somebody coming down from the worldwide leader and somewhere else every day. So that leaves about six. And then if you figure maybe a TV station or two to do some pool feeds with video, and then the AP, the Athletic, the Tampa Bay Times, you're pretty much there. And for those people, we'll have to get tested for COVID 2 days before we're designated to go to practice. And
you been tested yet?
I have not been yet, although I understand that we might have dodged a little bit of a bullet. Other than the deep swab that goes through the back of your brain, I believe, they have a more of a shallow swab. And you get your test results back in 2 days, and you can go out there. But we're not going to be in the building. They've moved. We're not in the media room. We can't do that. They built us. They have a trailer accessible to those who have been tested only. And so if you've been tested and you watch practice, you can go into that trailer. If you're of this other group, which is like 3M, tier 3M or whatever, it also includes a lot of Buccaneer support people, then you might be able to watch practice, but you have to leave the facility immediately. And which is going to be problematic because, you know, as soon as practice is over, Bruce Arians is going to do a Zoom call of some kind, or maybe talk to the people who have been tested on the field from a safe distance with separation. We don't know yet. So, yeah, it's going to be different. My understanding is I may never be in the same room where it happened, you know, as Hamilton would say, with Tom Brady or any other player for that matter this year. And we'll just have to see where this pandemic goes. I mean, we still are waiting for the Bucs to tell their season ticket pass holders if they can get their money back, or if they leave it in, what happens and how can they get tickets? Will there be fans? How many will there be? These are all questions we don't have answers to, but it's going to be the most unique, and it has been to this point, one of the most unique, you know, off seasons that I've ever had to endure. And, you know, but you, you know, I've managed to write some really good stories. We've had, you know, good stories to write, good interviews, access, you know, you work, you do things on the phone a lot. And, yeah, so, you know, you just find a way, but, we do look forward to, you know, when things might get back to normal. But isn't it just the Buck luck, right, or the Tampa Bay luck that, can you imagine, Tom, how long it's been, right? I was trying to think this the other day. 2008 maybe was the last time that they won a division title. No, they didn't win in 2008. 2007 they won. 2008 they were 9-3 and lost, and Gruden got fired. But there were some, you know, even at the 9-3 start, there were some pretty big crowds, raucous crowds, some Monday night games, things like that. This by far, I mean, sold out. I mean, the secondary market would be nutso, right? Mostly all Bucs fans. Can you, I mean, what this pandemic, and I'm not trying to minimize, you know, the real suffering that's out there. From a sports standpoint, for the fans that have not had a sniff of 12 years of no playoffs and all that, how that fan base would have been rewarded at least this year by being able to, if nothing else, scream their lungs out, right, and know that the big games are in town. And that's what's great for the fans. That's what's great about the playoffs. It's really for the fans, and I do feel for them, you know, from the standpoint that, you know, you've got everything right in front of you and you really can't, you know, you can't take advantage of it.
No, and the thing that starts to scare you is like, okay, if this season turns out the way that we think it's going to, where
maybe it's canceled,
or canceled, or there's
postponed,
no fans,
or yeah.
Yeah, it's a different, now all of a sudden next year is, maybe it's the same thing. We don't know. And it's not like Tom Brady is 27.
He doesn't need to play. No, he doesn't need, and he doesn't need to play. His legacy is secure if he never
plays
again.
But even if he does play, he's not going to, maybe, I don't know, Tom Brady, he's a freak, so he might play forever. But you feel like you got 2 years of Tom Brady. You got 2 years.
Yeah.
And now
you
we're
hope.
Not even sure what those 2 years look like.
You
or
hope
there
you
will
have
be
two
those
years.
Two. Yeah,
yeah.
We're not even sure what those 2 years might look like. So
right. No, it's a frustrating thing, but hey, we do have baseball as we do this podcast tonight. We've got hockey ramping up, and oh yeah, the Buccaneers have reported to training camp, and they'll be doing stuff as well, and you can read all of that on TampaBay.com. But what do you got going on at Pointer.org? I understand that the Democratic, or the presumptive Democratic nominee, is close to picking a running mate. Is
probably,
that correct?
Yeah, probably in first week of August, I think Biden said he would do it, and I'm guessing it's going to be Kamala Harris. That's a guess. But
Susan Rice, anybody like
Susan
that?
Rice. Yeah, her name's come up a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a possibility. You know what I wrote about just the other day that's really interesting, though, is that, you know, as much as we people are talking about the media has no credibility these days, or people aren't interested in news, they actually really are. If you look at the TV numbers,
mm-hmm.
ABC World News Tonight, I just wrote about this, is the...
David Muir?
Yeah, David Muir. The most watched show on television. Like really? All of television, not like not just news. But
let me
TV.
Play devil's advocate, because I don't know much about TV, and I think TV news is a good time, obviously, for them. How about the fact that more people are at home and can't go anywhere and are watching more network television?
I think that's a big part of it. Yeah, no, I think mm-hmm. that's absolutely a big part of it. But I mean, we're still talking typically on a night 8, 9, 10 million mm-hmm. people watching the evening.
Wow.
That's just watching one. That's just watching ABC.
Yeah,
NBC and,
that's a lot of people.
CBS yeah. are not far behind. So you're probably on any given night, you're probably talking about somewhere in the range of 20 million people watching okay. evening news, which is a, but you're right. I mean, a lot of it has to do with people are at home.
Yeah.
But no, sorry, but it's playing out everywhere. The Sunday morning shows are setting records. Fox News is having the best ratings in its history. CNN's.
And that's because, I mean, people want information too, right? I mean, they want sure. to know about this pandemic. It's an election year, obviously. It's a very divided nation. There's all kinds of social injustice protests and things going on. So you couldn't have more, news. to cover and,
exactly.
and to follow if you're somebody that wants to know what's going on in your world.
Exactly.
So yeah, I kind of get that, but that is you know, cable news for a while kind of went there but to see network news come back, because I mean years ago, right? If you lost Concrete, you had no chance. But there were three networks and they all battled for supremacy on the evening news, and so it's interesting. I think, boy, I'll tell you, it's going to be you gotta follow what's going on with the media and go to pointer.org, because the newsletter has some really good items in it.
Thanks,
every day.
I appreciate
and it's been fun to read. And,
I got sports in there too. So
I know you do. And so make sure you check that out. Tom Jones, always fun to hook up with you, my former radio partner, longtime columnist, Tampa Bay Times, now on pointer.org. And thanks for the last two shows, man. It's been fun.
Always. Thanks, fellas.
My thanks to Tom Jones. Just remember, on tomorrow's podcast, we're going to have John Franklin of the Buccaneers. He's a guy that played quarterback at Florida State, East Mississippi Community College, Auburn, and Florida Atlantic, the star of Last Chance U on Netflix. He joins me on tomorrow's podcast to talk about overcoming odds in life and in football. So be on hand for that. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.